We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Fay, hitting with a recap of the Nets' win over the Wizards, 122-119. First overtime win of the season for Brooklyn. We're going to jump to this and plenty more. Make sure you check the Buzz on all streaming platforms. But great game from Cam Thomas. Good stuff from Nick Claxton, Mikal Bridges as well. Dennis Schroeder, productive with some questionable decisions, especially to end the fourth quarter in this game. You know, Kevin Ollie elects to not take a timeout after Claxton gets a great block, you know, about 12 to 10 seconds left. Schroeder brings the ball down the court, doesn't look for Cam Thomas or Mikal Bridges, decides to ISO and take a pull-up three, misses. We head to overtime. Brooklyn looks pretty good to start OT, goes up six around the three-minute mark. Defense not good enough for the remainder of overtime. Washington ends up with an opportunity to tie it, you know, at their 14-second mark or so. Corey Kispert goes to the line to attempt two free throws, only hits one. Brooklyn ends up in the free throw game. Schroeder hits a pair. Then DFS has an opportunity to hit two more, misses both. Washington gets the rebound, has an opportunity to put a shot up. Luckily, Denny Avdia loses control of the ball. Brooklyn walks away with the win. So not perfect down the stretch, not pretty, but the way the season has gone for Brooklyn, the way they've played in overtime this year as well, that was their first OT win, 1-4 on the season in overtime. So we'll take it. And again, you know, Cam Thomas with a great game, returning from injury after having that lower back tightness, still dealing with that a little bit tonight, but he was really, really good. And I think you're starting to see him process the game differently. You know, it's great to see him put up 38 points, but that's something we kind of know he can do. He did it on great efficiency again, 51% from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. But the 7 assists, and also hearing the way he talked about it, you know, passing the ball at halftime, he mentioned, you know, needing to get Mikal Bridges open threes, finding Clax for lobs. He's, you know, saying Clax is always looking for lobs. So him starting to understand, getting his teammates involved and playing off of the defenders and, you know, putting himself in a situation where he's making other players better. And I think that was always the next step from Cam Thomas. We always knew he could be this scorer, this guy that could average, you know, 20 to 25 points, but it was, you know, how many assists could he average? Could it be 2 assists? Could it be 6 assists? Could it be 7 assists? You know, I think now we're starting to really see him understand, you know, how he can impact the game on more than just scoring. And that's going to be pretty important for him, obviously, moving forward in his career. Still, you got to see the array of scoring from him, his ability to get shots off, get in the paint, get to his spots. And if you're going to put Cam Thomas against a bad defense, he's just going to light them up. And that's what he did tonight. And when you don't help, you know, when you leave Cam one-on-one against a mediocre defender, he's going to probably get to his spot and get a shot that he really likes. And he did that a lot tonight. As I mentioned, you know, 51% from the field, 14 of 27. He was plus 5 and also only had 2 turnovers in 45 minutes of play. So really good stuff, especially returning from injury. And it's just, you know, nice to see a player that's young, has potential, taking a jump for this Brooklyn Nets team in a season that's been substantially disappointing. So, you know, hopefully the Nets are continuing to buy more stock into Cam Thomas and believe what he can be and have him in the plans for the future, regardless of, you know, the direction they decide. And we'll see how it all kind of plays out. But getting over to Nick Claxton, again, a big summer for Clax, obviously a free agent. I feel like we've heard a lot of reports saying, you know, Claxton will be back, but again, he's unrestricted. Does he want to be back? It felt like at times there's a level of frustration with him not getting enough shots. Well, tonight, finished with 17 points, 8 of 11 from the field, 1-1 from the free throw line, did have 13 boards, 4 offensive, 1 assist, 2 steals, 3 blocks. And those 3 blocks were huge. You know, one was essentially a game-saving block at the end of the fourth quarter, and then he had 2 blocks in overtime. So really good stuff for Clax in terms of that. And he had a nice stretch in the third quarter where the Nets were kind of feeding him and letting him go to work against Marvin Bagley. And, you know, when he got a mismatch, he was able to get to a spot and get to a hook shot. It looked pretty good out there. I think one issue where we're seeing less involvement for Clax on a lot of these pick and roll situations is, you know, the Nets don't necessarily have the guy that's applying enough pressure, you know, as the ball handler in those situations. You know, you have Cam Thomas, who is obviously a great shooter, but he missed the last game and he's still really developing that skill, and he doesn't necessarily have that elite speed to get downhill so quick, where, you know, Dennis Schroeder has that downhill speed, but he's not a real big threat in terms of, you know, a pull-up three. So there's a time to recover. So he doesn't necessarily have that elite pick and roll partner that's going to unlock his game. You know, Cam Thomas, you know, making steps towards being that guy, and I think we've seen their connection really improve this year. You know, there was a play in this game where I thought Cam had not an easy layup, but a layup that he would have typically taken, especially his first couple seasons, and decided to throw Clax the lob instead. You know, that's huge for their chemistry, and that's also going to mean, you know, Clax is probably going to do a little bit more when it comes to setting a screen and trying to create space for Cam if Cam's going to look to find him more. So really good stuff for those two in terms of chemistry. Mikal Bridges, you know, not a huge game, but a solid game, and this is a game where, you know, he's more of a third star. He's more of the third guy, the third ball handler, and he finished with 19 points, 7 of 16 from the field, 3 of 9 from 3. You know, probably like to see him go 4 of 9 in the situation, but, you know, at the end of the day, the Nets won the game. 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. You like to see his activity defensively and also, you know, continuing to move without the ball. And again, you know, we talked about Cam looking to improve and getting Mikal open shots, and he really did make an effort. I would say he generated, you know, 4 to 5 of Mikal's open three-point looks in this game. So good to see the chemistry develop for those three. You know, not that I hope this is the plan, but this seems like there's a pretty solid chance, as a possibility, the Nets will go moving forward Mikal Bridges, Nick Claxton, and Cam Thomas. And those guys seem to like each other. There's some value in that. Obviously not ideal in terms of talent on the basketball court, but in terms of what the Nets are trying to do and the vision that Sean Marks and Joe Tsai have, you know, progress for them. But again, you know, that's not the vision, not the ideal direction that I would go with this team, but that's for a podcast for another day.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Getting to Dennis Schroeder, again, I talked, you know, he was productive, 21 points, 8 of 19 from the field. The thing with him, though, is he's probably taking just too many possessions late in games, you know, late in the fourth quarter, in overtime, just ISOing a little bit too much. You know, he's a good player, but he's not a great player. He's a guy that should have let Cam Thomas and maybe even try to create stuff for Mikal Bridges late in the game. And, you know, obviously that's kind of where coaching comes in, where leadership on the team and overall just like a pecking order and establishing who's who. It seems like that's kind of been a little bit absent with this team at times. And obviously, you know, Schroeder, you could argue, has had the most success as a ball handler creator in this, you know, on this roster in the league. So we'll see how it plays out for the rest of the year, but definitely would like to see Cam T get more of those late game possessions, or even Mikal Bridges have plays drawn up for him. But Schroeder's final numbers, 21 points, 8 of 19 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3. 3-point shooting really good with the Nets this year for Dennis Schroeder. 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, did have 8 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 turnover. And overall, it was still a good game for Schroeder. Just some of the decisions late were not ideal. DFS, you know, it's just tough out there for DFS. He's not necessarily getting looks. Doesn't really feel like he's part of the offense. Not confident in his three-point stroke right now. As I mentioned, missed two big free throws in overtime that could have given, you know, the Wizards an opportunity to tie. You do love the physicality. You do love the defense. You love the hustle plays. But, you know, looking back, you still wonder, hey, should the Nets have moved him on draft night for a first-round pick to the Lakers? You know, not that I dislike DFS as a player or a personality or anything like that, but in terms of fit, usage, and value for this specific roster, you know, moving him made a lot of sense. We'll see how that plays out again in the summer. Trendon Watford, you know, had a nice game off the bench, 12 points, 5 of 7 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. I think the three-point shooting for him has been is huge. You know, I talked about it even when the Nets signed him in the summer. You know, he's a guy that if his three-point shot can develop, I think it opens up a lot of his game and his value to a team. You know, right now his best skill is ball handling, driving to the rim, and, you know, creating a shot for himself in the paint, typically against a smaller defender in terms of height or weight. And that's not always going to be available, especially against better teams. And also, there's not enough clear evidence that that's an effective offense moving forward for a team. So I think three-point shooting, really important for him. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. I think another thing with Watford that's stuck out at times is his energy levels, you know, some of his hustle plays. And that's also important. You know, if you're going to establish yourself as a role player in this league, play off the bench, you know, doing those extra things, creating a possession, two possessions, whatever it is, can alter a game in a playoff series, and now you become that much more value. I think the thing with Watford that's probably may become more evident watching him through an entire season, obviously hasn't played a ton of minutes, he is a very talented player, a unique player with a skill set, and he still needs a lot of development. And if the Nets want to invest in him in the summer, I don't think that's a bad idea. It's just you have to be ready to spend more than one or two seasons to really create a great role player, which I think he can be, but it'll just take a little bit more development. Again, the skills are there, the talent is there, very unique too. So we'll see what happens with Watford this summer as well. Dayron Sharp, solid in this game, nothing too crazy, 8 points, 2 of 3 from the field, 4 of 6 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 3 turnovers. You know, an okay game from Sharp, you know, kind of just some backup center stuff. You probably like to see him pop a little bit more against the competition, which he typically does when you put him against some of these smaller centers, and there wasn't really anybody who was enforcing on the other side, especially with Rashawn Holmes leaving on the first half of this game and not returning. You know, Marvin Bagley, more of a power forward, Anthony Gill, you know, not an NBA size center. So a little surprising, you know, we didn't see Dayron have a more dominant game, but, you know, still coming, you know, getting himself back from injury, his wrist all wrapped up, and, you know, still did some positive things out there. And obviously, I think the paint's been a little bit more clogged for him. You know, we've seen him play with other bigs. It's really strange after watching the Nets for the last couple seasons. We've now seen, you know, some big lineups multiple times. You know, we've seen Nick Claxton, Trendon Watford, and Noah Clowney. I think we saw Dayron Sharp, Trendon Watford, and Noah Clowney for a second, too. So, just something to keep an eye on in terms of this team and their willingness to try out some of these bigger pieces together. And maybe that's something they're looking to do moving forward. You know, especially if they're going to roll out small guards like Cam Thomas, hey, maybe we'll surround him with multiple big bodies. And I think Clowney's showcased a lot of versatility the last two games. As someone who was probably excited about the Clowney pick because of the potential, you know, I thought a lot of Nets fans were a little rash in terms of, you know, determining it wasn't a good pick when he was such a raw prospect. It was always understood that he needs reps, he needs development, and now you're starting to see, you know, essentially almost a whole year in the G League has really done a lot for him, and he just looks like an NBA player out there. And I love his activity off the ball. You know, I think that's one reason that he has potential to potentially play the four, is because he's willing to move. He does cut well, and we'll see what happens with the three-point stroke. That's going to be a huge develop for him. Similar as I mentioned with Trendon Watford, you know, Clowney will be able to definitely play the four offensively if he can knock down threes because of his off-ball movement and some of his other skills. But defensively, he still needs to prove that he can defend some of the NBA fours. You know, had a couple reps in this game. Got an ISO against Kyle Kuzma, which I thought he held up pretty good. Kuzma hit a really tough shot. Another play in this game where he matched up against one of the Wizards guards, not Jordan Poole. It was, I believe, maybe Jared Butler tried to go one-on-one against him, and you saw Noah Clowney rejected. You know, that was some good stuff. I think that was a showcase of his potential, maybe not up to Nick Claxton level, but always a comparison of I've heard, or, you know, the high end would be if he could defend like an Al Horford and kind of provide something similar to that in terms of the three-point shooting, the defense stuff. And that's like best case scenario for Noah Clowney, and obviously a little bit more athletic than Al, but still, you know, some promise really showcased from him. Jalen Wilson did his thing out there, hustle, didn't necessarily play a ton of minutes, but still nice to see him get some reps and, you know, look to probably be a piece moving forward for this team. I think Jalen Wilson in the area he needs to learn and develop is kind of what can he do with his in-between game. You know, I think right now he's getting the catch and shoot opportunities, then he's getting ran off the line, then he's driving to the hoop, and he's not liking the opportunities he's seeing at the rim. So what else can he do from that point on? A lot of times he's picking up his dribble and then kicking it out, but not in a way where the defense is, you know, unsettled. It's in a situation where the defense is settled. He's kind of throwing it back to the point guard or whoever's at the top of the key and resetting the play. So I think looking for him to be more boom, boom, bang, and probably just overall the NBA game slow down for him a little bit. It'll be pretty big for him next year. But happy to see the young guys out there, and happy to see just like progress overall for the team in terms of like, okay, these are guys that could be on the team next year, and their strides being made, and also guys are kind of building up some level of confidence. So we'll take the Nets win. It was against the Wizards, but they lost to them not too long ago, and I guess technically their playing hopes are still alive. Not that we're really keeping track of that. Really what we're keeping track of is the development and the play and the minutes and the reps of the young guys in this team, and see how it all goes. But again, big thanks to everybody for listening. Check the Buzz on all streaming platforms.